Facebook's role in spreading misinformation has come under intense scrutiny in the last 2 years. Facebook has partnered with documentary filmmaker Morgan Neville to create Facing Facts, a short film that gives an inside look at how they are dealing with this complex issue. Go see it at InsideFeed.com.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, tech founders are gaining power and big paychecks. A look at the shift of power from Silicon Valley backers to star entrepreneurs and who really has the control. The Journal looks into it. We'll talk about it. But first, these tech headlines. A new report in the Journal looks at how the operating room is getting smarter, more effective, and a lot less risky for patients. Hospitals are investing more in digital technologies, which include a range of advances. With some, doctors can create a GPS-like map, virtually seeing inside the anatomy before an operation, tracking their surgical tools, and helping them operate more precisely. You can check out the latest advancements at WSJ.com. For the elderly who are lonely, robots are starting to offer companionship. With the senior citizen population expected to nearly double to 88 million by 2050 and some nursing programs stretched thin, researchers and elder care centers are exploring the potential of digital companions in a robot or chat form to help the elderly. Case in point, Meibu from the company Catalina Health is a digital assistant on the market, developed to do everything from monitoring chronic health conditions to encouraging patients to stay active and engaged. The overall goal? Finding ways to meet the needs of a growing elderly population without overburdening the health system. And how blockchain could help lower health costs. The Journal looks at how the digital ledger could help replace fragmented data systems, simplify record keeping, and improve healthcare. With blockchain, patients, insurers, and providers are all on the same page, and with a low-cost and decentralized ledger approach to managing information, blockchain tech gives all the parties in the provision of healthcare simultaneous access. With a single body of strongly encrypted data, an audit trail each time data is changed is created. The Journal's Tomio Girone explains more at WSJ.com. Coming up, why in a founder-friendly era, star tech entrepreneurs are grabbing big power and big pay. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Facebook's role in spreading misinformation has come under intense scrutiny in the last 2 years. Facebook has partnered with documentary filmmaker Morgan Neville to create Facing Facts, a short film that gives an inside look at how they are dealing with this complex issue. Go see it at InsideFeed.com.
As of late, Silicon Valley financiers are losing leverage to star tech entrepreneurs. Venture capitalists had long called the shots in startup boardrooms, but in recent years, they've reduced their leverage and shifted their power towards star entrepreneurs. What could possibly go wrong? Or is this a formula that can work? Let's get more. Joining us now via our San Francisco studio is The Wall Street Journal's Rolf Winkler. Welcome.
Hi, Tanya.
So you write about how recently there's been a shift in power in the startup world, and founders and entrepreneurs are definitely claiming more control from venture capitalists. That's a big shift for Silicon Valley. Why are things changing now?
It's been happening over time for a few years, and there are a few things that are involved. One is just the flood of capital. There is so much money coming from sovereign wealth funds, mutual funds. SoftBank has a $92 billion fund investing in startups, and they're all chasing the next Facebook. That means the most sought-after startups, tech startups, have their pick of investors and get to write their own ticket.
Now, you would think a loss of leverage would not necessarily fall under the category of a good thing, but you write about some interesting instances where sometimes venture capitalists are accepting of this, and for good reason.
It depends what they tell you on the record and what they'll tell you kind of quietly off the record. One is they want their money to go into the best companies. And one way they do that is, look, if I'm the founder of one of these top companies, I don't want to know that this investor is going to be a very exacting board member. So I may choose someone who is going to be, quote, founder friendly. That's a very popular term in Silicon Valley. Every VC is falling all over themselves to say, I'm founder friendly. they will tell you, the VCs will tell you that, look, we want to empower founders because it's founder-led companies that create more value. And there's some data we found that tends to back that up. The flip side of the argument is that, well, corporate governance is something you don't need when things are going well. It's when things are going poorly,
right.
when the upmarket turns into a down market, that tougher decisions need to be made, and boards may need more power potentially to fire a CEO who's not doing a good job.
You mentioned voting rights and a tech founder's ability to pick its own investors. That's got to be hugely important if you're a CEO.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to keep in mind, Tanya, because voting rights, this founder-friendly era it's not brand new. This has been going on for a few years, but super voting shares in particular have exploded recently for VC-backed tech companies that are coming public. The reason they're important, super voting shares, is because the founders of these companies, when they're private, they're so popular, when they're raising money, they've got their choice of investors. They can choose investors that they think are in line with their view of how they need to run the company. When you go to sell your shares publicly, you don't get to choose your investors anymore. So super voting shares at least allows you to do things like elect the members of the board, right? You will, when you go public in the United States, you're going to have a majority board of a majority independent board, independent directors, which isn't the case for these private companies. But if you have the super voting shares, then you still have a lot of leverage to direct the future of the company and to fend off potential pressure from activist investors who could come in, say, after a couple bad quarters.
Right. So let's stop for a moment and step back big picture here, because, you know, maybe there's an important question to ask. Why would shifting more power over to a tech founder not always, you know, pan out swimmingly? You note a couple of buzzy tech companies that lend itself to some important thought here.
People, venture capitalists certainly will cite companies like Facebook, right? They'll say, look, long time ago, Mark Zuckerberg had pressure to sell the company to Yahoo for $1 billion. And if he didn't have complete control, he might have been forced to do that. And wouldn't that have been a bad outcome for shareholders? That may be cherry picking a good example. There are other examples of companies that have come public with super voting shares where the founder is empowered. Snap is a good example, those shares aren't doing particularly well. It's hard to make this comparison because not all companies are the same, but Theranos, where Elizabeth Holmes had shares that gave her 100 votes per super voting share, which is not normal. Most of these super voting shares have 10 votes per share. And there's a great quote in our colleague John Carreyrou's new book, coming from one of the board members, saying they just didn't do votes at Theranos because they knew Elizabeth Holmes was going to do whatever she was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there it didn't turn out well.
Puts it into some good perspective, these changing times here. Rolf Winkler, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Tanya.
That's it for this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.